vine, you are the branches. Who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And then into the Old Testament, if you bring it to about halfway, you'll be somewhere between Psalm and Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verses 21 to 31. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. The earth is a globe, in case you were wondering. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Who are you going to compare God to? He says, I do all these things. Who are you going to compare me to? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out the host by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Is there anything God doesn't see? Is there anything God isn't aware of? Do I think I can hide from God? 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and be weary and young. He gives power to the faint, to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We're coming to a near conclusion of a short series on abiding in Christ. We looked at some weeks ago, back in near the end of November, we looked at the importance of regular devotional times. To regularly get into the Word of God, not to do it haphazardly, not to do it sporadically, but to have a regular devotional time is very beneficial to every believer. Then we looked at part two in that. We considered a number of elements. We looked at regular devotional times increase fellowship with the Father and with one another. Regular devotional times ensures nutrition. Regular devotional times equips the saints to be overcomers. Regular devotional times contribute to godly character. Regular devotional times contribute to blessing, and regular devotional times contribute to a strong internal compass that we have a sense of where God is taking us. The third in the series that we looked at was it involves hearing. And I run into this situation frequently at work, because my primary assignments, once Mondays and Thursdays, once the initial dealing with the truck is handled, then my assignments move to the dairy and to the freezer, and those are separate compartments. And when I'm in the dairy or I'm in the freezer, I might hear the PA system, but I got no idea what's being said. There's a difference between, hearing something and actually listening. You know, there really is. Ask almost any wife. And, that thing of selective hearing. And believers, we have that. We have selective hearing. We'll hear what we want to hear, and we'll turn off what we don't want to hear. And it really is, it's really important for us to be people that listen to what's being said. First, to be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying? And open to alignment with the Scriptures. Does my life and my internal compass, does it really line up with what the Scriptures teach? And being open to godly counsel. Those are critical issues for us. This morning, we're in the fourth on the series of Abiding in Christ. And this morning's devotional, I simply entitled Abiding in Christ Involves Waiting. How many here enjoy waiting? I think one of the big catchphrases these days is hurry up and wait. The other day, I was in aisle five dealing with the freezer items, and I noticed people were backing up towards me. And I looked at the front, and both of the tills were operating, but we had lineups. And some people were getting quite impatient about the whole thing. Waiting is not one of our favorite things to do. And Isaiah deals with that very openly. He says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Looking at, we read that portion, verse 30, even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The idea in the Hebrew language of wait is to look eagerly for. Not impatiently, but there's an internal drive that causes you to be eager, to hope, expect, to lie in wait for. That the picture that came to my mind when I saw that was highway robbers that lie in wait for caravans that come by. They know it's coming, and they're about to do something. And we're to lie in wait for the Lord God Almighty. To wait for, linger for. Then, as I continue to look at it, there are some interesting concepts that came out. To collect. As I wait upon God, and I allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me, am I allowing God to bring back to my remembrance verses of scriptures, events and occasions in my life where God unquestionably moved to bind together, to be collected. Dr. Strong, in the Exhaustive Concordance, says, wait for, probably, originally twist, stretch, then for tension of enduring. As I wait upon God, there is supposed to be a twisting in my soul of the word and the character and the power of God intertwined and being braided deep into my soul. And it becomes an unbreakable rope. But I don't like waiting. And I've had to discipline myself in that area, that when I'm waiting to really get into the Word of God and to allow it to really become integrated in my soul. Psalm 25:5 says, lead me in your truth, teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Mark 14:37, he came and found them sleeping, and he said to, have you ever noticed that every time Peter gets in trouble, God, Jesus calls him Simon? Yeah? Simon, are you asleep? He already knew the answer. He just wanted Simon to admit it. Yeah? I always knew when I was in trouble at home. Because I would hear my full name being enunciated. You know? Bob, you had the same thing? Or you did that with your kids. And then there's that question to him. Can you not watch 1 hour? How often I've heard that in my soul. Well, I'm looking for things to happen. I'm desiring things to happen. And I don't know, I think it's part of our modern culture that you feel like, or at least it used to be, I shouldn't say too much. I noticed that some of the new hires, they're not afraid of work. They can stand and look at it all day. You know. But for some of us of a slightly older generation or raised on farms or those kind of things, we're used to laying our hand to the task. Hello? You know? Get it done. I used to like the Nike slogan, just do it. You know? And I get like that in my Christian life. I'm wanting things to happen, and I'm looking, what is it that I need to do? And it never occurs to me that what God is saying is wait. Wait on me. With my son the other day, we were doing our mentoring session together, and we use Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. And he talks about waiting on God and the challenge that sometimes the answer God wants to give you is His silence. Ooh, that bothered me. Because when I'm waiting on God, I'm usually waiting for something. I'm either waiting for a manifestation or a word or direction. And sometimes God is just silent. He wants just for me to be in His presence. And that's not always easy. 1 Thessalonians 1:9-10, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. And we don't often think of serving being waiting, but the best serving comes out of waiting. To serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. I'm in the process of waiting upon God for the Christmas season. Of what to share, and I'm really feeling challenged in my spirit. We so often are thinking of the babe laid in a manger in a stable. God came as man, born as man to die on the cross, not out of sympathy for us. On the cross, He bore my sin. That's not sympathetic. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for me. But, you know, after the resurrection, and again, it's Peter, but he didn't get reproved as Simon. Peter comes to him, is this now the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? See, Israel's been waiting for a king. They're still waiting. Benjamin has been reelected as prime minister in Israel, but he's not the king. The king is coming. The king is coming. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. And I'm looking at that as maybe the theme for this coming Christmas season, because there is so much out there that's happening. We need a king. And we need a righteous king. and there's the promise to Israel, there's going to be a righteous king. He's going to be an eternal king. And that's the whole thing of the genealogy. This is the son of David. Abraham waited for 25 years for the promise of God to be fulfilled. I didn't do the math. 25 times 360 days. I know there's 365 in our calendar. You got to understand the Jewish calendar had 360. That's a long wait. Yeah. And it had to come to a time, in my opinion, that the promise would be fulfilled when he couldn't do anything about it. He was 99 years old when the promise came. This time next year, you'll have a son. And his wife was 10 years younger. She was past, the scriptures, past the time of giving birth to children. And up to this time, she hadn't. So when Isaac arrived, now when Sarah heard that announcement, she laughed. You know, at my age, how am I going to bear a child? And God said, you know, why are you laughing? Well, I didn't laugh. You laughed. And Isaac means laughter. A totally impossible situation, but it came because he had learned to wait. Joseph waited for years. He had the dreams. How old he was when his brothers turned on him and attacked him and threw him in the pit and sold him to slavery, we don't know. He ended up in Potiphar's house, but God was with him. The old King James, that challenged a number of my early understandings, because I came into the faith during the time of the name it and claim it. You know, what you say is what you get. What was the other slang term? Blab it and grab it, you know. And it made me rethink the whole thing, because it said the Lord was with him and he prospered as a slave. And then he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He ends up in jail, and it's nothing like the ministry that's going to be happening in Regina. It's not that kind of. I mean, this was a hole, literally. And Joseph is there, and it says the Lord was with him, and he prospered. That forced me to reevaluate what does it mean to prosper. If God's with you, he'll deal with all your needs, and that's prosperity. You know? I looked online at the house across the street there that's for sale. Like, man, that's really nice. You know, I claim that in Jesus' name. Listen, the first church I went to, they did that. Sunday nights, they would drive through Lindsay and they'd march around property that people wanted and they would claim it in Jesus' name. Be content with such things as you have, for I have said I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, the scripture, you know. But he had to wait. He was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh. He could have been in those adverse situations for 16 years, because the word for describing him at the time was a word that was often used for just young men in their early teens. But we don't know. But he waited for a long time. Are you with me? I don't know what God's saying to you. But if you're in a waiting situation, it doesn't mean that God's forgotten you or that the promise wasn't real. It just means that there's stuff that God wants you to twist into your soul and get it locked in, get it tight. That it becomes not just second nature, it becomes first nature, primary nature. Israel's waited for centuries and continues to wait for their king. And just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to. It's going to happen. Waiting is not being impulsive. Sarah, when she heard the, you know, when Abraham came to her and said, you know, we're supposed to have a child, you know, and you're supposed to change your name. Abram meant a father. Abraham meant a father of a multitude. At this point, he still had no kids, you know. And she hears this, and she's waiting, and nothing's happening. So she gets this brilliant idea, which at that time was legitimate. It was called the service of the handmaiden. She says, take my handmaiden and lay with her, and she'll conceive, and that'll be our son. And Ishmael was born, and she just got unhappy. There's something dangerous when we try to bring the promise of God into being through our own action. We invariably mess it up. And sometimes it's a situation we deal with for years. The next one, and I'm going to see if this works for me or not. I've tried to get my tongue around this Hebrew name, and I have not done it very successfully yet. Hopefully this will work.
Strong's age 3316. Yiftach. Yiftach.
Now, you look at the spelling there. I don't know how you get Yiftah out of that, but I'd always heard it pronounced Yaftah, but that's English, not Hebrew. He's one of the judges of Israel, and he's, God, if you do this, the first thing that comes out of my house, I'll give to you. And he had one child, a daughter. And he gets the victory, and he's coming home, and she walks out of the house. And to fulfill a vow, he had to give her up. That was foolishness. It was impulsive. You know, it's like bartering with God. If you do this, I'll do this. It's not waiting upon God. And I found this, and it just described the whole thing to me. The danger of being impulsive. You know, and I hate to say this, that's been me more than once. Jumping after something that has the ability to fly away, but I don't. You know? Yeah. That's a German shepherd. So it's perhaps a Mennonite pastor. I'm not sure it's a German shepherd. I pastored a Mennonite church for a number of years, and one of the elders said to me, do you know what you call a Mennonite pastor? I said, no, what? He says, a German shepherd. So I didn't make it up. I just remembered it. Waiting is also not assuming. One of my coworkers came to me the other day, and we were talking about a certain situation. He says, yeah, he says, I did that. I assumed something. And you know what happens when you assume. I said, yeah, you make a ASS out of you and me. And we see that often. Joshua sees God's victory at Jericho, then he experiences defeat at Ai. And if you look at the, you know, he was counseling, you know, like Ai is nothing compared to what Jericho was. We don't need to send the whole military force we got. Send 3,000. That'll be sufficient. And they got whooped. I think it was something like 36 or something of the Israelites that were killed. And then God reveals to him that there was sin in the camp, that idols and treasures from Jericho had been salvaged from Jericho and were being hidden in a tent. And they went through all the tribes, and it came down to Judah, and they went through, and it came down to one. And he and his family were stoned. It doesn't seem fair. I want to tell you something. Listen, parents, grandparents. When we assume certain things and we do certain things, it will have repercussions on us, but it invariably has repercussions on our kids. You know, it's like throwing a rock into a pond. There's that ripple effect that goes out. And then they eventually took Ai. But the point is he didn't wait on God. God told him how to take Jericho, which made no military sense at all. You know, march around it every morning. Do that for 6 days. Don't make a sound. Tell the people. They're not to greet one another, not a word. Not a word. Seventh day, go around it seven times. Seventh time, blow the trumpets and shout. And the walls will come down, and you will enter into Jericho upright. So they didn't have to climb over rubble. And archaeologists have verified the old site of Jericho's. The appearance is that the walls didn't fall inward from pressure externally. The walls fell outward. If they'd fallen inward, there were structures on the inside of the wall and it would have created rubble. You'd have to climb over it, but they were able to walk in upright. Well, that makes no military sense. You know? Then they go to Ai and, oh, you know, we took Jericho. No, you didn't take Jericho. God took Jericho. You just followed instructions. And they came up with a plan that excluded God. We can do it with 3,000. Don't worry about it, Josh. We got this. It's made. It's a done deal. Don't worry about it. And then they have to bury the dead. David desires to build a house for the Lord. And the prophet initially says, good idea, do it. And the prophet goes home and God starts to speak to him and says, no, David will not build a house because he's a man of war. He's a man of bloodshed. He will not build the house. Prophets can get it wrong. He spoke without hearing. And I've been around for a bit. I've seen all kinds of people that thought they were prophets speak and they didn't know what they were talking about. Wait upon God. And he has to come back and he says, no, God says you're not to build the house, but your son will build it and it'll be an everlasting house and he will be an everlasting king. And we're waiting for that king to return. 1 Timothy 5:22, do not be hasty in laying hands nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Don't lay hands suddenly on anybody. Years ago in the Grenfell Apostolic Church, we had a time of ministry and we had a brother come in who was gifted in that area. And he went to lay hands on a certain individual, then he stepped back. And he looked at him and he says, I'll talk to you later, but I'm not going to speak over you right now. Because the Spirit in him discerned that there was something out of line there. I don't know if my wife remembers this or not. We had a certain evangelist that when we were, the year we were married, we were caretakers for Crescent Beach Camp, which was the camp that the church owned. And we had a wonderful man of God was our speaker, he and his wife. And they were, what would Dave be then? Mid-30s? Maybe early 40s, I don't know. But they had no kids, and one lady went up to her during the altar service one night and laid hands on her and said, God has told me that you're going to have a child a year from now. And I cannot tell you what deep wound that produced in that brother and his wife because she had had cancer years earlier and those organs were all removed. Here's somebody just spouting off. But listen, not hearing God at all, you know, assuming. It's a fearful thing to say God's saying when it's just you. We need to learn to wait. And sometimes that involves just not saying a word. I'm very dubious of people that just blurt out. They may mean well, but they're not hearing God. Waiting involves walking together. Mark 6 and 7, he says, he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. There's something about partnering with people that are of like kindred spirit and you wait on God together. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be confirmed. Luke 10:1-2, after this the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. Our first step, and that came out so eloquently this morning by Tim regarding Circle Square, the significance of it, of that place of ministry, and how you verify, like, your life was altered, forever altered, by the ministry of Circle Square. And the biggest need there isn't the finances. The biggest need is that prayer warriors would raise up and wait upon God. The young lady who has primary responsibility there, Rachel Lowe, is from my observation, is a woman of God who cares deeply. But she's under an incredible amount of stress. She really is. I mean, she's got a budget, and she knows it's going to be a shortfall next year. And I don't know. My guts would be turning inside me. And the biggest thing she needs right now is prayer support lifting her up. Those that will wait upon God for her and lift her up. Amen? And we can all do that. We can all do that. The harvest field is wide on the harvest. We need to be praying it through. Acts 13, 2 to 3, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Lord said, "Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul to do the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off. They heard what God wanted to do, but they continued to wait and to fast, and they confirmed in their spirit, and they laid hands on them, and they sent them forth. Our God knows exactly what's going on. Our God knows exactly what's needed. Our God knows exactly who to call and place in position. Our God has nothing hidden from his counsel. And what he asks is, John, don't just try to do it. John, wait upon me. Abide in me. And as you abide in me, you will hear clearly what I'm saying. John 5, having this confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and if he hears us, our petition's already been granted. God's got something up. I cheated. I looked at the end of the book. We win. He's coming again. And he's going to come with all of his saints. In the meantime, he says, wait on me and I will show you the way to go. And as you abide in me, you can ask what you will and it will be done. I think of the number of prayers, my friend, that I have prayed and nothing happened. And I came to the painful conclusion. I was just praying out of my flesh, not praying out of the Holy Spirit. God wants to do things. Now is not the time for presumptuous or impulsive action. Now is the time for waiting upon God and hearing him. Amen? You know? Boy, I tell you, it's easier to wait on God and say the right thing than say the wrong thing and have to try to fix it. Sometimes you can't fix it. I don't know about our closing hymn. Our time is already past. How many do not have the little communion thing?